Welcome to Exploring the Mystical Side of Life with your host, Michelle Aubin and Linda Lang.
Welcome to Exploring the Mystical Side of Life. I'm Michelle Aubin. We're here with my co-host, Linda Lang. Hi, Linda.
Hi, Michelle.
So the topic we're going to talk about is interesting. We were talking before the show about the shifting energies and what we're both feeling in our lives that are reflecting these energies. So that's the topic for today. And bounce it to you, Linda. What have you been noticing around the shifting energies that are coming in, and how is that showing up for you?
Well, it's showing up in a couple of different ways, actually. I notice with clients, some of them are really, really struggling, that a lot of old issues are coming up to be looked at, to be healed, to have more awareness about. And it's really challenging for quite a lot of people. And I know for myself, you know, we've talked about this before, Michelle, how if we look at who we are today and who we were 9 months ago, I mean, we're like different people almost. We've changed so much. And I'm really very, very aware of those kind of shifts within myself. And that is affecting some of my relationships. I've had some old relationships that have dissolved because we're no longer in that kind of vibrational resonance anymore. Those people I love dearly from the past, and yet there's not the same level of coherence, maybe. Are you finding that in your
life? That's a big topic. So I'm finding a lot in what you just said is resonating with me as well. And the idea that we're not who we were a few months ago really rings true for me. And what I've started to do is to actually let go of any definition of myself. And I'm doing that in every area. So trying to maintain this really neutral state of not defining myself from who I was in the past. And so with relationships, that's an interesting exercise, because with certain people in my life, there's a new layer of the relationship that's revealed. And with other relationships, there's maybe a transition place where that hasn't been clarified yet, what's going to show up. So, and I'll specifically talk about, like, my father. I did some forgiveness work a couple years ago with family members, including my father, and he and I have talked about it, and we have this new relationship, and I talk to him. It's delightful. I'm not acting the way I used to act. He's not reacting. So by doing this kind of open way of being, that's been able to emerge in that relationship, which was not always an easy relationship, and now it is, and it's delightful. So I hold on to that idea as a possibility with other relationships that are maybe in transition that aren't feeling so easy at this point. So that's one area that's showing up for me, and just this idea of not holding on to this self-definition.
You made a really interesting point, and I totally agree that a relationship is not just a one-way street, right? It is synergistic, so that if either person's vibration changes, it does affect the dynamic of the relationship. I know I'm married and I do a lot of healing work. And when I shift, there's a shift between my husband and I, even though he hasn't, you know, necessarily done any work. So it is really interesting when, you know, things in your life change that are not necessarily related or seemingly logically related to the work that you've done. I think there is almost like a matrix or a little like cosmic cobwebs that kind of connect things. Again, in Huna, we call them Akka cords, and it's almost the fabric of the universe, you might want to say.
Now, do they shift on their own, or do they shift because, let's say, in my case with my father, I did some intentional healing and forgiveness and worked on myself around that relationship. Does that cause them to shift, or do they ever create a situation where we can get stuck in an old pattern?
That's a big question too. So I would say that whenever either party of a relationship does any kind of emotional healing or belief change, that those cords definitely would shift, and sometimes for the better, not necessarily for the better, depending on what happens emotionally or in their belief structure. Just not everybody does their own personal work, and relationships still change. Do they actually change on their own? And I would actually suggest maybe they might, if it's your path, and I think the universe is always trying to get you back on to your path. And so perhaps those kind of energetic attachments do shift to get you where you're supposed to be. So it is kind of a really interesting question, very philosophical, I think, because I don't really know that anyone has the answer.
It is philosophical, and I love that phrase you just said about how the universe is always trying to get us back on our path. And I've come to believe that and really see that anything that has occurred in my life that I used to define as a problem has actually served on a very deep level to bring me closer to my path, or to bring me to a deeper understanding of self-love and trust in a paradoxical way. And, you know, when I was in the midst of some difficulties, I felt like, oh, these are problems happening to me. When I look back now, I see that they were, in a way, a process of stripping away things that were distracting me from my path, or things that I thought were necessary but realize now are not necessary for me to be who I am as a spiritual being in a physical body. And I think that just to loop that back to this idea of the shift, the energetic shifts that are happening in so many people's lives, and you were talking about the clients you're seeing that are having difficulties. And, you know, I would just like to remind anyone listening to this who's having a feeling of difficulty to look for that peace in whatever struggle you're going through. What is the peace that is maybe helping to remind you of some deeper truth? You know, I find that to be very helpful.
I think it can be really challenging when things shift. You know, the world right now is a little bit chaotic. We have chaos in our environment, in our political systems, in economics, and for people on a personal level. So it is good to kind of have some kind of sense of stability. And I think we can find that in ourselves. We can just be present in the moment in our own lives and pay attention to our emotions, you know, feel them and let them go, whether they're uncomfortable or they're joyful, and not necessarily attach the stories to them. It was interesting when you were talking before, Michelle, because it reminded me of a really powerful dream I had about 2 years ago. And in that dream, twice someone told me that I wasn't in the right place. And not only was I not standing in the right place, but I was taking the place of someone else.
Oh.
Which is a really interesting thought, because you think, well, you can go maybe off your path a little bit, but what if where you are is really meant for someone else and you are taking their space? So
fascinating.
It was a really powerful dream for me. It was a really long dream with all kinds of messages. And so I'm kind of letting go of some of those old roles and ideas I've had about myself and what I'm supposed to be doing, and just allowing the universe to kind of put me where I'm supposed to be. And so who was ever supposed to be in those places, you know, the space has opened up for them.
Now that's interesting, the way you just phrased that, Linda, that you're letting go of some old ideas about who you're supposed to be, and you're letting the universe put you where you're supposed to be. So that is a really different way of doing things than most of us are taught how to do things in life. Can you talk a little bit about that, especially being someone who's a business person? How do we, you know, and I face this too, how do we take action? How do we move ourselves forward and do it in a way that allows the universe to put us where we're supposed to be? And this could be true even if you're not a business owner. You have a family, you have a job, you have things in life that you're managing and accomplishing. It's a bit of a paradox. So can you just talk about what that feels like?
It's actually very liberating once you get over the fear and you actually learn how to trust. It's, I don't know, I think it's the best way to live. It's inspiring. I follow my intuition. I'm blessed enough to have a really good working relationship with my guides and my spirit helpers who help me immensely. And I wait for invitations and opportunities and ideas to just present themselves to me and kind of feel how they are inside, and then kind of go with what feels right at the time, as compared to creating a logical story. Mm-hmm. It's not a typical way to do business, although a lot of business owners do follow their hunches and intuitions, and quite often they work out far better than any kind of mental construct that they've created for themselves. That's really how I'm approaching things.
Well, I was thinking as you were talking about the episode we did on PLARK, which is play, work, and how that is, in addition to all of the things you just mentioned, which are really helpful strategies and methods, the idea that when we get an impulse of joy or playfulness, that is an indication to keep moving in that direction. And that's kind of what I use when I think about my intuition. If I'm considering a course of action and if it feels heavy, I've learned to say, okay, put that aside for now. This other course feels fun, playful, joyful. Move forward 2 steps and then decide which direction after those 2 steps feels more playful, more joyful. Keep doing that. And our joy is what keeps us aligned on our path.
I totally, totally agree. And it's so easy to fall off of that wagon and get really serious and committed to our path and our spirituality. But spirit loves laughter and joy and playfulness. And it reminds me of the quote from the Bible that to be like little children to see the kingdom of heaven. And I think there is some wisdom to that kind of energy of exploring an adventure and being open to new experiences. I am currently doing a HUNA series of meditations where we have energy symbols in HUNA, and each day we're meditating on a symbol. And the symbol that I meditated with this morning it was beautiful because it just kind of covered me with this warm blanket of comfort and peacefulness. And then out of that energy arose an actual like emotion that I was experiencing of kind of awe and playfulness, just like being a child. So that actually is part of my purpose, is to bring more joy and more fun into my lives, but also to help my clients have more of that kind of energy on their path.
If we all can shift into that a little more, then this transitional shift of energy that we're going through collectively might be an easier transition. And you know, you did speak earlier about some of the things that are going on in the world and political, and all of that can feel very heavy. And whatever we all need to do to connect to that place within us that feels lighter, I think will help. And it will help us as individuals and collectively.
It's also really good to stay grounded, right? This is not kind of stick your head in the sand and pretend it isn't there, but to stay grounded and just kind of feel the bliss that is available to us in any moment, you know, just by feeling the energy, the air that we breathe coming in and out, or taste the incredible taste of the food that we're eating. It's a little bit, being mindfulness can bring up some real joys of life, the beauty of flowers in the sky and sounds of the birds. I mean, this world is filled with wonderful things.
Yeah, and you brought up a great point. It's not about bypassing the difficulty, but we all have a lot of choice in what we focus on. We may not have control over other people and other situations and things that involve the collective. You know, on some level we do. We have choices in how we relate to those collective realities. But we all have immense control in what we focus on in any given moment. And that's what I remind myself of when I start getting a little, feeling a little heavy or a little down. I go, you brought some great examples, the food, the breeze, nature, the people in front of me. That's where we have control, is where we focus and how, what emotion we tune into. So we can all use different tools for that. You use the tools of HUNA. I use the tools of mindfulness oftentimes. So
I'd have to say I use mindfulness as well too, as a healer, and you're a healer as well. Mm-hmm. We know the importance of really processing our emotions.
Yeah.
When you're feeling them. So, you know, lately as some relationships have been shifting for me and maybe I feel a little bit sad or whatever that emotion is, I just stay really present with it and I just feel it and let it go. It doesn't stick on me. If it's something you're going through and you have a lot of grief or sorrow, if you need help, there are many, many places you can get help. And that's definitely something you should do so you don't kind of get stuck in sadness. But for me, I'm just, you know, feeling it very kind of somatically through my body and looking at the places where I feel blessings and where I am blessed, and you know, the good friendships that I have, or all the other wonderful things I have in my life. It kind of helps to balance and release any kind of emotional attachments that I might have, because I don't want to do that. I know what happens when you hold on to these really difficult emotions and they settle in your body.
Yeah, and one of the things I've learned to do when I'm feeling sadness or anger or any other emotion is, first of all, not to label it as good or bad. It's a feeling, and all feelings are okay. And I've learned to not start interpreting, why am I feeling this way? When did it, you know, I want to understand myself, but that loop of trying to interpret the feeling in the past I have been stuck in, which keeps it kind of a dwelling on it. What I've learned to do is feel it and just feel it. It's like weather. It has its own process, and let that move through me and not try to intellectualize it. So
it can actually be a bit of an addiction to try and logically understand and ask why, and we end up creating stories about it and almost like mental prisons keep our conscious mind stuck in this loop. So really the best thing is to feel it and, you know, let your unconscious mind let it go. And again, if you need help, there's lots of people out there that can help you.
So we're just about ready to wrap up. So this is our message about managing all of the shifting energies and the high points of that, the low points of that, and just kind of navigating all of that. We're all navigating a lot that's happening, and we would love to hear from you. Reach out to us. We would love to start a conversation with you. So any final words before we wrap up, Linda?
I just really want to encourage people not to be afraid of their emotions.
Yeah.
It's just energy, and that energy has to move. And there is always space for more joy and more happiness and more fun once you kind of get rid of that old baggage. Even pain, quite often, like actual physical pain, can be contributed to by some old emotions that we hold on to. So when we can let them go, we can often feel improvement in our physical health. So that's what I'd share today.
Well, you brought up a great point, which we could talk about in another episode. I've actually come across information that can map how emotions get expressed as physical pain. So there's a lot there. And in my story, my healing from physical pain has had everything to do with my emotional healing as well. So a few other things too. But there is hope there if you're going through something physical. We'll leave you with that idea of hope and whatever you're going through, and we're here to support you. So we will see you next time. Bye for now.
Bye for now.